الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله، أما بعد، فيقول المؤلف رحمه الله: ولهم شبهة أخرى، أي للمشركين عبدة القبور، ولهم شبهة أخرى وهي قصة إبراهيم عليه السلام لما ألقي في النار. اعترض له جبريل في الهواء فقال له: ألك حاجة؟ فقال إبراهيم: أما إليك فلا. قالوا: فلو كانت الاستغاثة بجبريل شركا لم يعرضها على إبراهيم. الآن هذه الشبهة في جواز الاستغاثة، فهم يجوزون الاستغاثة ويلقون هذه الشبهة، ولكن بناء على تفصيلنا الذي قدمناه فالشبهة مردودة عليهم، لأننا فرقنا ما بين الاستغاثة بحي قادر وما بين الاستغاثة في من لا وبين الاستغاثة بشخص في أمر لا يقدر عليه إلا الله سبحانه وتعالى. وهناك فرق بين الصورتين. قال المؤلف رحمه الله: فالجواب أن هذا من جنس الشبهة الأولى التي تقدمت، فإن جبريل عرض عليه أن ينفعه بأمر يقدر عليه. هنا لب الفارق ما بين الصورتين. جبريل عرض عليه أن يغيثه وأن يساعده في أمر هو قادر عليه، فإنه كما قال الله تعالى فيه: علمه شديد القوى. فلو أمره الله أن يأخذ نار إبراهيم وما حولها ويلقيها في المشرق أو المغرب لفعل، فهو قادر على ذلك. وما حولها من الأرض والجبال ويلقيها في المشرق والمغرب لفعل، ولو أمره أن يضع إبراهيم في مكان بعيد عنهم لفعل، ولو أمره أن يرفعه إلى السماء لفعل. وهذا كرجل غني له مال كثير يرى رجلا محتاجا فيعرض عليه أن يقرضه أو أن يهبه شيئا يقضي به حاجته، فيأبى ذلك المحتاج أن يأخذ ويصبر على أن يأتيه الله برزق لا منة فيه لأحد، فأين هذا من استغاثة العبادة والشرك لو كانوا يفقهون؟ ألا يفرقون بين الصورتين؟ هذه استغاثة جائزة وتلك استغاثة شركية. الاستغاثة في أمر لا يقدر عليه إلا الله، هذه استغاثة شركية. الاستغاثة التي معها كمال الحب والخضوع والتذلل، هذه استغاثة شركية. أما الاستغاثة في أمر يقدر عليه الشخص فهذا جائز. أي نعم، تفضل.
الله يزيد فضلكم. شيخ جزاه الله خيراً began by praising Allah and issuing the exaltations of Allah and His greetings upon the Messenger Muhammad and his family and his companions صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم. And then he began reciting from the words of the author, may Allah have mercy upon him. And then he said, and they surely have another misconception that they bring forth, another doubt that they cast. That being, and herein the reference is to the mushrikeen, the polytheists from the grave worshippers. That being the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he was thrown into the fire, Jibreel was there and he met him in mid-air and he said to him, do you have a need? And so Ibrahim alayhi salam responded, a need to you? Then no. So they responded, they said, or they commented on this and they said, if seeking the aid of Jibreel was shirk, then surely he would not have displayed this upon Ibrahim, he would not have offered it. He would not have offered it to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam. So the Shaykh comments here, he says, this is their doubt that they cast on this matter, that it is permissible to seek the aid of other than Allah. And surely this type of istighatha, this type of seeking aid and refuge, according to them, is permissible even from the creation that have no power or that are not present, and so on and so forth. The Shaykh says, and we differentiate between seeking the aid of one who is alive, present and capable, or a similar meaning, and between seeking the aid of a creation in an affair that only Allah can deliver, in an affair that is only in the hands and power of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. The author continues and he says that surely this is the same as the category and type of the first misconception that they brought forth, and Jibreel only displayed upon the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam to benefit him with an affair that is within the boundaries and powers of Jibreel alayhi salam. For Allah Azza wa Jalla has described Jibreel, said, عَلَّمَهُ شَدِيدُ الْقُوَى, that he was taught, meaning the Messenger Muhammad, by one who was mighty of powers. This is Jibreel alayhi salam. The author says, if Allah gave him permission to take the fire that was lit for Ibrahim and everything around it, in terms of the lands and the mountains, if Allah gave him permission to take all of that and then to cast it away somewhere far, in the east or the west, then he would have. And if Allah commanded him to pick Ibrahim up and place him somewhere far, he would have. And if he commanded him to raise him into the heavens, he would have. The Shaykh comments, he says, this is the point of difference between us and them, that Jibreel offered that which he has capability to deliver, whereas they are seeking from the ones that they are worshipping that which can only be delivered by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that is not within the capabilities and powers of the ones they are calling upon. The author then continues and he says, and this is the similitude, the analogy of a rich man who has a great deal of money, and he sees an impoverished person, a person who is in need, and so he displays upon him, he offers him a loan or a gift that will help him take care of some of his affairs. And so that man who is in need refuses to take from him and remains patient until Allah Azza wa Jal delivers to him sustenance that results in no gratitude to any human, and no one can say, but I helped you or I gave you. So where is this, the author says, and how close is this and how comparable is this to the istighatha, the seeking of aid, that is a worship and that is polytheism, if only they had comprehension. The Shaykh Jazakallah Khairan, he comments, he says, and they do not differentiate between that which is permissible, which is seeking the aid of a human who is capable and has the ability to deliver specifically that which you are asking, and between calling upon other than Allah in matters that only Allah can deliver. Surely this type of seeking aid of creation in matters that only Allah can deliver, that which is accompanied by complete love and abject humility and humbleness and submission, this is polytheism and shirk, worshipping other than Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Fadal Shaykh.
قال المؤلف رحمه الله تعالى ولنختم الكلام إن شاء الله بمسألة عظيمة مهمة جدا تفهم مما تقدم, يعني من تأمل ما تقدم فهم هذه المسألة من غير الحاجة إليها ولكن من زيادة بيان وإيضاح, ولكن نفرد لها الكلام لعظم شأنها ولكثرة الغلط فيها. فنقول لا خلاف أن التوحيد لا بد أن يكون بالقلب واللسان والعمل, لا بد أن يكون بهذه الثلاث, فيعتقد المرء بقلبه وينطق بلسانه ويعمل بجوارحه. هذه عقيدة أهل السنة والجماعة. لا ينفع المرء أن يكون مؤمنا بقلبه وبلسانه وهو قادر على العمل ولا يعمل, ولا ينفعه أيضا أن يعمل بجوارحه ولا ينطق بلسانه أو لا يعتقد بقلبه, لا ينفعه هذا الإيمان حتى تجتمع هذه الثلاثة. قال لا خلاف أن التوحيد لابد أن يكون بالقلب واللسان والعمل، فإن اختل شيء من هذا لم يكن الرجل مسلما. واضح عقيدة أهل السنة والجماعة، لابد من اجتماع ثلاثة أمور حتى يكون الرجل مؤمنا: اعتقاد قلبي وقول باللسان وعمل بالجوارح والأركان. فإن عرف التوحيد ولم يعمل به فهو كافر معاند كفرعون وإبليس وأمثالهم. هذا نوع من أنواع الكفر. الكفر أنواع عباد الله. من هذه الأنواع كفر العناد، كفر العناد، كفر الإباء والاستكبار، يأبى ويستكبر أن يخضع لله سبحانه وتعالى ولأمره، فهذا يكفر ككفر فرعون وإبليس وأمثالهما. أي نعم. وهذا يغلط فيه كثير من الناس، يقولون هذا حق، يعني الدعوة إلى التوحيد، يقولون فيها هذا حق ونحن نفهم هذا ونشهد أنه الحق، ولكننا لا نقدر أن نفعله. لماذا لا يقدرون على فعله؟ لا لعجز بدني، ولكن لأغراض دنيوية ومصالح. ولا يجوز عند أهل بلدنا إلا من وافقهم، يعني عند لا يستطيعون أن يفعلوا الشيء عند أهل بلدهم الذين هم من المشركين إلا أن توافقهم على شركهم وغير ذلك من الأعذار. وفيقدمون لأنفسهم، هؤلاء الذين يعترفون بأنه حق يقدمون لأنفسهم أعذارا مختلفة وكلها لا تغني عنهم شيئا. ولم يدري المسكين، هذا اللي يقدم لنفسه الأعذار، أن غالب أئمة الكفر يعرفون الحق. يعني لا ينفعه هذا أن يقول أنا موحد، لأن أئمة الكفر كانوا يعرفون أنه الحق وهذا غالب حالهم، ولم يتركوه إلا لشيء من الأعذار. كل واحد منهم يقدم عذر، مصلحة دنيوية يريدها، جاه، مال، إلى آخره. كما قال تعالى: اشتروا بآيات الله ثمنا قليلا، وغير ذلك من الآيات، كقوله يعرفونه كما يعرفون أبناءهم، يعرفون الحق كما يعرفون أبناءهم الذين عندهم، لكن مع ذلك لا يؤمنون به. فإن عمل بالتوحيد عملا ظاهرا وهو لا يفهمه ولا أو لا يعتقده بقلبه فهو منافق. الآن انتقلنا للصورة الثانية. الصورة الأولى اعتقد بقلبه ولكنه لم يعمل، هذه الصورة الآن عمل بجوارحه ولكنه لم يعتقد، وهو لا يفهمه أو لا يعتقده بقلبه فهو منافق، وهو شر من الكافر الخالص. هناك فرق طبعا، لا يفهمه إذا كان ليس عنده علم به فهذا لا يكون كافرا حتى تقام عليه الحجة والبينة، أما إذا كان قد بين له الحقيقة ولا يريده أن يفهم عندئذ يكفر، فهو منافق وهو شر من الكافر الخالص. هذا الذي يعتقد الكفر في قلبه ويظهر للناس الإيمان هذا منافق، هذا هو النفاق، أن تبطن الكفر وتظهر الإيمان. وهؤلاء شر من الكافر الخالص. لماذا هم شر منه؟ لقوله تعالى: إن المنافقين في الدرك الأسفل من النار، فهم أشر من الكفار الأصليين. وهذه المسألة كبيرة طويلة تتبين لك إذا تأملتها في ألسنة الناس، ترى من يعرف الحق ويترك العمل به لخوف نقص دنيا أو جاه أو مدارات لأحد، يعني يفعل هذا لكي يرضي فلان أو فلان. وترى من يعمل به ظاهرا لا باطنا، فإذا سألته عما يعتقد بقلبه فإذا هو لا يعرفه، ولكن عليك بفهم آيتين من كتاب الله. تفضل.
الله يزيد فضلكم. الشيخ جزاه الله خيرا continued reading from the words of the author. The author said رحمه الله: And let us conclude the speech in this matter by the permission of Allah, elevated is He, with mentioning a tremendous affair that is extremely important. However, it can be understood and derived from that which was already previously discussed. So the Sheikh comments, he says, this is not really an affair that needs clarification, but due to its importance, the Sheikh will dwell upon it further and amplify it and emphasize it. However, it is clear from contemplating that which was previously studied. The author continues, he says, however, we will speak about it due to the tremendousness of its affair and also because of how frequently people are mistaken regarding it. And so we say, there is no differing there is an agreement upon the fact that Tawheed, monotheism, must be through the heart, the tongue, and the actions, such that if any of this is not present, then surely a man will not be regarded a Muslim. The Shaykh comments, he says, these are the three components of a man's Tawheed and faith in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. This is the creed of the people of the Sunnah, that Tawheed and Iman is belief in the heart, sayings of the tongue, and actions of the limbs. And so if a man comes with a statement of the tongue and a belief in the heart, and he performs no actions, then surely he will not be benefited by this faith. Or if a man comes with simply actions, but no statements of the tongue and no belief in the heart, then this is also not going to benefit him. He will only benefit if all three are present. This is a very clear affair, my brothers. This is the creed of the people of the Sunnah. The author then continues and he says, so if he comes to recognize Tawheed monotheism, he understands the issue at hand and does not apply it, then he is a disbeliever out of stubbornness, such as Fir'aun and Iblis and the likes of them. The Shaykh comments, he says, this is one type of disbelief, and disbelief is surely many types, O slaves of Allah. From the types of disbelief is kufr al-iba, the kufr of refusal and stubbornness and arrogance, that he refuses to submit to the will of Allah, refuses to submit to the commandments of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala out of arrogance and haughtiness and seeing himself as too high. This is a type of kufr, a type of disbelief that renders an individual a non-Muslim. This is the kufr that is exemplified by Fir'aun and Iblis and the likes of them. The author then continues and he says, and this is surely an affair that many people are mistaken regarding. They will say, what you are stating is the truth, and we understand it. We testify that it is the truth. However, we cannot apply it in our lives. So the Shaykh comments here, he says, this is not due to the fact that this is not due to perhaps having no power to apply it or being weak in bodies. For example, a form of disability or so on and so forth, something that would prevent them. But rather, they are saying that it will interfere with their dunya, and it will interfere with certain gains that they wish and hope to gain. The author continues and he says that they say it is not permissible with the people of our town to be on other than that which they are upon, and they have other types of excuses. So the Shaykh comments, he says, this type of knowledge, this type of testament to the truth of the message of Tawheed is not beneficial to an individual who comes forth with this type of an excuse. For surely, it must be accompanied by actions. Leaving off the actions of Tawheed and engaging in the actions of Shirk will render a man a disbeliever if this is his excuse, that he simply wants to fit in with the people. The author continues, he says, and surely this ignorant individual, this poor man, didn't know that the majority of the leaders of the disbelievers used to know the truth and did not leave it except because of some excuse. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, they have purchased with the verses of Allah but a small price. This is in reference to those who have turned their backs to the truth for the sake of some gain in this life, for the sake of attaining some status with the people and obtaining some money from the people. And so they turn their backs to the truth, to the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and sell these verses in return for that small gain. And other than that, from the verses, the author continues, such as the statement of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, they recognize him as they recognize their sons. They recognize their children. So this is all proof of this matter, that these types of excuses do not benefit a man. If he thinks that he will be saved by simply knowing in heart and testifying by tongue, and will refuse to apply it for fear that this will cause him to lose out on some of the gain in his life, then this is not a beneficial excuse. This is like the excuses of those who are considered leaders amongst the disbelievers, and Allah does not accept that from them. The author continues and he says, so if he applies the monotheism in outward and apparent actions, however he does not understand it, or does not believe in it in his heart, then he is a hypocrite. The author, the Shaykh comments on the words of the author. He says, as for the one who doesn't understand, meaning that he did not gain comprehension, then surely he will not be regarded a hypocrite until firstly the affair is explained to him thoroughly and the proofs are established upon him. And then if he continues to refuse to believe in it and only acts in accordance to it with his limbs, then he is a hypocrite. However, if one holds a belief in his heart that is contrary to that which he is showing to the people on his limbs and in his tongue, then he is a hypocrite. And he is worse, the author says, than a pure disbeliever who shows no signs of believing on his limbs. He doesn't have the actions of the believers. And this is due to the statement of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ فِي الدَّرْكِ الْأَسْفَلِ مِنَ النَّارِ. Surely the hypocrites are in the lowest place of the fire of hell. So this is proof that they are worse with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the disbelievers, because they show the people one thing, but they hide in their hearts the opposite of it. They show monotheism and tawheed and believing in the deen of Allah and Islam, but they hide in their hearts hypocrisy. They hide in their hearts disbelief. They don't believe in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in the way that Allah has obligated upon them. And the author then continues, he says, and this is surely a major issue, that if you contemplate its affair in the words that come off of the tongues of the people, you will see that from them are those who know the truth but will not apply it, for fear of it causing a diminishment of his provisions and what he has in this dunya, this life, or it will cause a diminishment of his status with the people, or for the sake of attempting to fit in and not cause friction between him and others. However, you will see those who will apply it outwardly, but not inwardly. So if you ask him about the creed that is within his heart, you will come to see that he does not really understand what monotheism is. However, it is upon you, meaning the reader, to understand two verses from the book of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. The Shaykh now will touch upon them. Tafadhal Shaykh.
ثم قال المؤلف رحمه الله ولكن عليك بفهم آيتين من كتاب الله لابد من ذلك. أولهما قوله تعالى لا تعتذروا قد كفرتم بعد إيمانكم. فإذا تحققت أن بعض الصحابة الذين غزوا الروم مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كفروا بسبب كلمة قالوها على وجه المزح واللعب، تبين أن الذي يتكلم بالكفر أو يعمل به خوفا من نقص مال أو جاه أو مداراة لأحد أعظم ممن يتكلم بكلمة يمزح بها. هذا واضح. فالذي يتكلم بالكفر أو يعمل به لا يكون عذرا له أن يكون سبب فعله ذلك هو الجاه أو مداراة الناس أو طلبا للمال، هذا لا يكون عذرا له ولا ينفعه عند الله سبحانه وتعالى، وهو يكون أشد حالا من الذي قال كلمة الكفر وهو مادح. وهؤلاء وإن كان المؤلف قال أن بعض الصحابة، لكن لا يعني هنا الصحابة بالمعنى الشرعي الذين لهم الفضائل والمناقب الذي ذكرت في الكتاب والسنة، لكن هذا المعنى الصحبة اللغوية فقط. فالكفر الذين كفروا وبقوا على كفرهم أولئك لا يسمون صحابة. والآية الثانية قوله تعالى من كفر بالله من بعد إيمان إلا من أكره وقلبه مطمئن بالإيمان ولكن من شرح بالكفر صدرا فعليهم غضب من الله ولهم عذاب عظيم ذلك بأنهم استحبوا الحياة الدنيا على الآخرة فلم يعذر الله من هؤلاء إلا من أكره مع كون قلبه مطمئنا بالإيمان وأما غير هذا فقد كفر بعد إيمانه سواء فعله خوفا أو مداراة أو مشحتا بوطنه أو مشحة بوطنه أو أهله أو عشيرته أو ماله أو فعله على وجه المزح أو لغير ذلك من الأغراض إلا المكره فالآية تدل على هذا من جهتين الأولى قوله إلا من أكره فلم يستثني الله تعالى إلا المكره ومعلوم أن الإنسان لا يكره إلا على الكلام أو الفعل وأما عقيدة القلب فلا يكره عليها أحد لأنها أمر باطن لا يمكن لأحد أن يعرف حقيقتها إلى الله والثانية قوله تعالى ذلك بأنهم استحبوا الحياة الدنيا على الآخرة فصرح أن هذا الكفر والعذاب لم يكن بسبب الاعتقاد أو الجهل أو البغض للدين أو محبة الكفر وإنما سببه أن له في ذلك حظا من حظوظ الدنيا فآثره على الدين والله سبحانه وتعالى أعلم وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وآله وصحبه
الله
فاستدل المؤلف الله يكرمه استدل المؤلف رحمه الله هنا بهاتين الآيتين حتى يبين لنا أن الإنسان إذا وقع بالكفر من أجل غرض دنيا أو مدارات لأحد أو لمال أو جاه أو ما شابه فهنا يكون كافرا خارجا من ملة الإسلام وإن ادعى الإيمان القلبي فلا ينفعه ذلك هذا مراد المؤلف رحمه الله بذلك وبهذا نكون قد انتهينا من الكتاب بحمد الله وتوفيقه نعم
الله يبارك فيكم شيخنا وجزاكم الخير الكثير طيب أنا أترجم إن شاء الله
أكمل وأنا معك
الله يسلمكم شيخ the Sheikh Jazahullah Khairan he continued reciting from the words of the author he says but it is upon you to understand two verses from the book of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala the first of which is the statement of Allah elevated is he do not apologize for surely you have disbelieved after your faith and this is regarding the men who ridiculed the messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made fun of him and some of his companions The author says, so if you are now sure that some of the Sahaba, the companions, who went with the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to invade the Romans, have disbelieved because of a word that they said it. The Shaykh comments here, he says, this is not a reference to the word Sahaba in the terminology of the legislation, such that they are considered companions, but rather these are men who disbelieved in the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And if they died upon that state, they are not considered Sahaba, companions in the legislation, but rather the author is using this word in the linguistic perspective, meaning that they accompanied the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam physically, they were with him physically. So this is a linguistic reference rather than an inclusion in the body of the men who were praised by Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala and promised Jannah, paradise in the book. It is not an inclusion in that group, but rather this is a linguistic reference. So they have disbelieved because of a word again reading from the words of the author, that they said in mockery, in play, in jest. If you understand this, it becomes clear to you that one who speaks the speech of kufr, speech of disbelief, or applies the actions out of disbelief, rather the actions of disbelief out of fear that his provisions will be reduced, that his assets will be reduced, or that his status amongst the people will become lessened, or out of attempting to fit in with the people and not have any friction between him and them, then surely his affair is more tremendous, more grievous, more sinful than the one who only speaks this speech out of jest and play in mockery. The author, rahimahullah ta'ala, Sheikh explains, is clarifying a very apparent affair, that there is no excuse for one who performs the actions of kufr, disbelief, or speaks the speech of kufr with no excuse but an attempt to preserve, or rather in fear that his money may be reduced, or his status, or for fear of creating friction between him and others. But instead, the one who speaks this type of speech or does these kinds of actions with this type of an intention is worse in affair than those mentioned in the verse mentioned by the author. They are worse than those who speak this kind of speech out of jest and play. Their sin is more grievous with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And as for the affair of what is in the hearts, then this is only known to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. The author continues, he says, the second verse, whoever disbelieves in Allah after his belief, except one who has been forced and his heart remains tranquil with the faith, but rather one whose chest is comfortable with disbelief, then upon them is the wrath of Allah and his anger. The anger of Allah is upon them, and what awaits them is a tremendous punishment. This is because they have preferred the life of this dunya over the hereafter. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the author says, did not give an excuse to these people, except those who have two descriptions. Firstly, that they were forced to commit these actions by others. And secondly, that their hearts are still tranquil with the faith. Other than that, then a man has indeed apostated, left Islam, become a disbeliever after his faith. Whether he does it out of fear or out of an attempt to fit in with the people and refrain from causing any friction between him and them, or out of greed and stinginess that he doesn't lose his country and his abode, is not to be taken and extracted out of it, or losing his family, or losing his tribe or his money, or even if he does it out of jest and joking, or other than that, from the reasons, except one who has been forced. The Shaykh explains, Jazahullah Khairan, he says, this is a reference to the fact that Allah Azza wa Jal gives no excuse for performing or saying the words of kufr or the actions of kufr, except to one who has been forced, so long as he, and provided that he retain the faith in his heart and his heart is tranquil with the faith. Other than them, those who mock, those who joke, those who engage in this in jest, or those who are attempting to preserve their status amongst the people, or those who are attempting to fit in and refrain from causing any friction between them and others, these types, or those who are afraid that their monies will be reduced, these types, they have no excuse before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for committing the actions of kufr or saying the words of kufr. The author continues, he says, and this verse indicates this from two particular observations. The first of which is the statement of Allah, illa man ukri, except for one who was forced. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he gave them an exception, those who were forced. And it is known that surely a man will not be forced upon anything except that which is outward and apparent. So he cannot be forced to change what is in his heart. He can be forced to speak and utter speech that is displeasing to Allah. But he cannot be forced to change the creed in his heart. And he can be forced to perform actions. But what is in his heart is only known to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And the second observation in that verse, the second point of proof in it, is the statement of Allah, this is because they have preferred this dunya life, this life that we are in, over the hereafter. And so Allah Azza wa Jal made it clear that this kufr and the punishment that awaits them is not because of their creed, not because of their ignorance, not because of their hate for the religion, not because of their love for this belief, but rather it is because that there was a conflict between what they desired from this dunya and that which Allah obligated upon them in terms of leaving off the statements of kufr and the actions of kufr. And that conflict, when it was presented to them, they chose to preserve their dunya and preserve their provisions and their status with the people, or some other form of some of things that are desired in this life. They chose that and preferred it over the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shaykh Jazakallah Khair, and he said to here, we have concluded this book by the permission of Allah. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reward the Shaykh lavishly for the time he has given us and for the book that he has explained. We ask Allah subhanahu to make this sincere for his faith. Nas'alullah an yujzi lakum al-mathuba shaykhana wa naj'al al-amala khalisan liwajhihi wa an ya'umma bihi an-naf'a.
Ameen. Jazakumullah khair wa barakallahu fikum.
Allah yahfazkum shaykhana. Shaykhana, law takhtimun ya'ni hadha al-dars bi nasiha li tullabi ilmi al-aqida min ikhwanina fi hadhihi al-bilad wa min as-sami'ina ma'ana.
والله أنصح الجميع خصوصا في زمن الفتن هذا الذي نعيشه نحن بتقوى الله سبحانه وتعالى والحرص على ذلك وبعدم الانجرار خلف الفتن التي تحدث سواء كانت فتنا سياسية أو فتنا أيضا دعوية. أنصح الشباب أن يجتنبوا هذا الأمر وأن يجتنبوا أسباب الفرقة والاختلاف وأن يحرصوا على اجتماع الكلمة على كلمة التوحيد واعتصموا بحبل الله جميعا ولا تفرقوا. فالاعتصام والاجتماع يجب أن يكون على كلمة الله على كتاب الله وعلى سنة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. ويجب أن نحرص أيضا على متابعة سنة النبي صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم ونصاحب الأخيار ومن عرفنا منه التمسك بكتاب الله وسنة الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم ونلزم أيضا غرز العلماء الكبار الذين بمصاحبتهم وباتباع طريقهم سلامة من الزلل والانحراف. فالذي أنصح نفسي به وأنصح إخواني بتقوى الله سبحانه وتعالى وبكثرة الدعاء والتضرع إلى الله سبحانه وتعالى بالثبات على الحق إلى أن نلقاه, وكذلك أنصحهم بالحرص على طلب العلم فإن العلم له فوائد كبيرة, ولو لم يكن له فوائد إلا أنه ينور لك الدرب والطريق إلى الله سبحانه وتعالى لكفى. فكيف وفيه أيضا مصاحبة الأخيار ومجالسة أهل الخير والدين والتقوى. فأنصح بذلك وأنصح بكل ما يعين المرء على الثبات على دينه والثبات على طلب العلم. نسأل الله أن يثبتنا وإياكم على طاعته وأن يجنبنا الفتن ما ظهر منها وما بطن. نعم.
الله يبارك فيكم. طيب شيخنا, إن شاء الله أنا أترجم هذه بعد انصرافكم الله يحفظكم ويكون بيننا اتصال الله يحفظكم شيخنا.
طيب.
مباشرة ما بيني وبينكم الله يحفظكم.
طيب على السكايب أرض أيضا.
أي نعم شيخنا إذا كنتم طيب. تأذنون.
طيب ما في بأس, إذا ننتظرك إن شاء الله. أنا سأولك
إن شاء الله. جزاكم الله خير شيخنا, الله يبارك فيكم,
الله يحفظكم ويسلمكم. السلام عليكم.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. The Sheikh جزاه الله خيرا was asked in the conclusion of this book and as a final note to offer a piece of advice for the students seeking the knowledge of the creed in Islam from amongst the listeners of this class and those of the brothers in the West. Sheikh جزاه الله خيرا, he said, my advice to you, my brothers, especially in this time of fitna, tribulation, is to fear Allah and to be in awe of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and to be keen to not be swept up and flooded by the fitan, whether they are fitan that are political in nature or fitan within the da'wah. I advise the youth to leave off anything that leads to separation and disunity, and to leave off the reasons that will cause differing and segmentation amongst their ranks, and to adhere all of them to the reasons of unity, that being the Book of Allah. وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. The adherence to the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We must be keen on following the Book of Allah and applying the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and keeping the company of those who are pious from amongst the goodly people. Surely it is upon us to keep the company of those who follow the Book of Allah and are adherent to the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and also to hold on to the scholars and to follow them, the major scholars of Islam, for indeed in following them and in keeping their company is the safety from becoming misguided and deviant. And likewise, I advise the brothers to make an abundant amount of dua and supplication, calling upon Allah Jalla wa'ala. And likewise, I advise you to be keen on seeking knowledge. And surely in the seeking of knowledge, there are tremendous benefits. And surely if there was no benefit in seeking knowledge, except for the fact that it illuminates for you the path that leads you to Allah, then this would be a sufficient benefit. So what think you? That this is not the only benefit? That it is a reason for you keeping the company of the pious and the knowledgeable and the people of religion, religiosity and piety? And likewise, it is a reason that a man will remain firm on his religion. So be firm on your deen and be firm on seeking knowledge, my brothers. And then the Shaykh concluded Jazahullah Khairan by making dua for us and him. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to answer that dua. Ameen. وصلى الله وسلم على النبي محمد جزاكم الله خيرا جميعا والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.